Welcome to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast.
Hey, it's Sally, and because you can never have enough Kinkle Fritz and Friends, here's some highlights from today's show.
Hey, just a heads up, if you're going to be in a wedding, it's going to cost you about $1,700. Someone asks you to be the bridesmaid. Probably a little less for groomsmen. But we're just curious, if you've ever been invited, did it cost that much money? Is there something else you were invited to that was expensive you found out later on? 888-888-9976. Judy is with us from Overland Park, Kansas. Tell us your situation.
Okay, so when I was right out of college and living in Southern California, one of my good friends asked me if I could be in her wedding in Oklahoma City. And I didn't have enough money to do it.
You didn't, couldn't afford it.
Yeah, and I was kind of embarrassed because I was trying to live kind of debt-free, and I just didn't want to put, you know, a couple thousand on a credit card just for that. And I think it might even be more than that because, you know, then you still have to buy them something, and it just keeps adding up. So what one of the ladies there said about being really kind to not make her a bridesmaid, I think that's kind of true as far as, if you're local, then maybe you could do it. But if you have to fly someplace,
right,
it's kind of, it puts you in a really uncomfortable situation with a good friend.
Yeah.
So how did that go down? Were you up front? Basically said, I can't afford it?
I told her. I think it's always good to be honest.
Absolutely. Well, I think that comes across better than I don't want to be in your wedding.
Yes, right. That's not a great way to put it.
No.
Even if you're thinking that, yeah, you don't say it, right?
So maybe you or someone you know startles easily. I had a lot of fun with that when I first got married to Becky, my wife, and then I found out this isn't good for our marriage.
Yeah, you were the one having fun.
I was. Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
It was really good. Well, just
she
to
was
see
left
her.
Out of the fun.
Oh yeah, you just kind of any kind of situation, just kind of come up behind her and hey, she would go through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty easy to scare. I scared myself the other day.
Oh, you!
Oh no!
Yes. You scared yourself.
I scared myself. I was at a store. I went into the ladies' room, a very full ladies' room, mind you. And I was washing my hands, and for some reason, when I glanced up, my own reflection scared me. I don't know what that says about me, but it did. And I screamed. And I'm not talking about like a. Oh, I'm talking about like. Ah! Like, I screamed in the ladies' room, and immediately I heard several other women in the stalls behind me scream because I scared them. My scream initiated, like, three or four other screams in the stalls behind me.
A chain reaction.
Yes. I didn't know what to do. I hightailed it out of there. I was so embarrassed. I, like, scared the whole room because my reflection scared myself.
So
you scared everybody and ran away.
I did. Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
All right. We got to hear about you and your easily startling scenario. 888-888-9976. You can text us at 58326. All right. I just have to do this for review. All right.
Okay.
In summary, you startled yourself.
Yeah.
That's just funny on its own. You're scaring yourself.
Yeah, if you want to get more specific, my reflection scared me.
But that's... You know, I like how you're not blaming it on your reflection.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's Kinkle Fritz and Friends here on Family Life Radio with our good news of the day. We have Jenny from Topeka, Kansas. What's God doing in your life?
I've struggled with depression and anxiety my whole life and not feeling good enough because of family issues and stuff like that, and always ended up with the wrong guy. And when I finally really surrendered my life to God and gave up all the things I was striving for, God sent me the man that loves me like crazy, and he's now my husband, and we have a 6-week-old baby, and I've never felt more love and joy in my life just by letting go of all the things I couldn't change on my own and finally accepting what he had for me instead of what I was chasing after.
Wow. That's a lot of power in everything you said there. Letting go of the things that you were trying to change It makes me wonder, am I trying to do that? Am I trying to change certain things? Is it accepting kind of like where you are in life? Is that where you're coming from? Or is it just when you finally say, all right, be still and know that I'm God?
Be still and let me handle this. Know that I'm God and I will do with the situation what I want to do with it. It's not up to you to take care of everything. That's how it is for me anyway.
When you just made that statement, it's not up to you to take care of anything anyway, that's a relief, right?
Yes.
And I think a lot of us feel that way. We have to fix this issue with this person. It's all on us.
Right.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and he's done that in other areas of our lives too. Like, we wanted our house to sell in a certain time and it didn't, and it sold in the exact perfect time for other things to fall into place. And I just keep seeing a pattern of this happening. Once I let go of what I think should happen and let what he wants happen, it's always way better than what I expected.
Yeah, but we have to let go of what we think should happen. Man.
That's the hard part.
He so is. You're right. God, this is not going the way I want it. Come on now.
Yeah. When you finally say, okay, whatever you want to happen, I'm okay with it, then it usually ends up being way better.
That's not easy to do, though. You're right. Beautiful story. Thank you for sharing.
No problem. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Hope Darst. And if you didn't know, Family Life Radio is listener supported. By giving you help, people find hope and keep the station on the air. You are helping make possible a place that people can turn to for hope and truth.
You can give safely and simply at myflr.org.
Easter candy and your favorites, or if you'd like to modify, because here's what's going on. People are, the trend now, it's deep fried Cadbury cream eggs. Don't know about that.
Nope.
Hard pass from Misty.
Mm-hmm. Not participating.
No. Okay. All right. Family Life Radio. Good morning.
Hi, it's Leah and her son, Andrew.
Leah and Andrew.
We listen every morning on our way to school.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Just curious, your favorite Easter candy.
So one day we were wanting to make s'mores and it was around Easter and we had no marshmallows. So we used Peeps instead on our s'more.
And?
That now is a family tradition.
Oh. Whoa.
I bet that actually would be good. Like, I'm not a fan of Peeps by themselves, but I can see how if you melted them down, that sugary crust right on the outside would make it extra sweet between the graham crackers with the chocolate. I can see how that would work.
I'm just picturing roasting a Peep over an open
spoon. See, that's the thing, Sally.
So what we do is we put them in the microwave.
Oh, okay.
For about 15 seconds, and they blow up. Like, they get really big.
Right, they get huge.
Okay. No, wait, here's my question. So much. When you close the microwave and turn it on, do you hear...
Okay, Andrew laughing in the background. That was it. It is Passion Week. This is, you know, Good Friday coming up tomorrow. Easter, when Jesus rose again, coming up on Sunday as well. It's pretty
those
exciting.
Little tidbits in the Bible that maybe you didn't pick up on. I think those are so neat. And I just learned something. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 7, tells us the napkin that was placed over the face of Jesus, it was not thrown aside like the grave clothes. It was neatly folded and it was placed separate. And this is super, super significant. You have to understand a little bit about Hebrew tradition of that day. It had to do with the master and the servant. So when the servant would set the dinner table for the master, he made sure that it was exactly the way that the master wanted it. And then when the master was done eating, he would rise from the table, wipe his fingers, his mouth, clean his beard, wad the napkin up, toss it onto the table, and that meant I'm done. And if the master got up from the table and would fold the napkin neatly and lay it beside his plate, the servant wouldn't touch anything because that meant
he's coming back.
Coming back.
Ooh,
so that
Misty
was a message for the disciples. And most importantly for us, I'm coming back.
And aren't you excited?
Wow. That's so exciting.
I
Isn't
know.
That so neat?
I love that.
That gives me shivers.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too.
Jesus is coming back. And if you study it, prophecy at all, and the world events that's going on right now, sure looks like it's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, God, we know you are. I don't know why I said that. But how about today?
Please.
Yeah. I'm ready to go.
She's ready.
Exactly. It'll be amazing. I've got joy down in my soul. I'm going to let this feeling take control. Joy. All right. Chris is with us right now. And this just sounds beyond crazy. Like I'm having a hard time believing this. You said your mom was a Christian and your dad worships the devil?
Yes.
Hello.
Has proclaimed such at family gatherings and things of that nature. So
wow.
Our house was like Amityville Horror on steroids. So
good golly, man.
My father's 77th birthday was last week, and I called him, and he started asking me about things, and I said, Dad, I'm going to tell you something that you're probably not going to appreciate. I said, I put your name on a prayer wall. I said, and every day, I have people from all over the world tell me that they're praying for you. I said, Dad, I want you to know that nothing you have ever done could ever make God love you any less, and that you can't be forgiven for, and he loves you, and you're his child, and he cried. At that point, I don't know. God is softening his heart, and I know y'all are making the difference, because I have prayed for this man all of my life, and it's just the magnitude of prayers praying for one lost soul. But this one lost soul would have an impact on so many lives. The significance of people who pray and the power of God. We forget the power that he has in our lives. And it is maybe not good news, but it is certainly hopeful news. And
oh, no. That is good news. And you know what? He is going to become a believer.
That is my prayer.
Yep, he will.
And the fact that he cried was just, oh my gosh. My dad is like the toughest guy. He's like Chuck Norris on steroids.
Well, that is tough.
I mean, it was just, it hit me. It hit me at that moment.
That means something's going on already.
Something is going on. It's incredible.
So while Jesus was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar, poured the perfume all over his head. It's Kenkel, Fritz, and Friends with you on Family Life Radio. This is what happened with Jesus. And some of those that were at the table, they were indignant. They were like, why waste such expensive perfume? You know, it could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. Which I researched this, guys, and that's actually true. It's very expensive. So they scolded her harshly. And this is what Jesus said. He said, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You'll always have the poor among you. You can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. What she has done, anointing my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, whatever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. And I was thinking about this, guys, and I'm just pointing the finger at myself and how judgy I have been at times. Oh, that church is doing that? With their money?
Ooh.
Oh, even if you're doing this with your money for God. And I am so puzzled though by what Jesus said. I mean, there's a lot of people you could help with that money, right? Let's all agree.
Right.
And that was his answer. And I'm so puzzled. I still don't understand completely where he's coming from. But it just does hit me in the back of my mind. Why are we so judgy with what people do with their money?
I may have said something 3 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Oh, you may have said something? What was it?
A church wanted to expand their gym for a youth program, and I made kind of a snide comment. Oh, goodness. Man, this is hitting home. All right. Oh, okay.
Well,
you know, for me, listening to that story, it comes back to the saying of, you know, do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. And so I hear Jesus saying
that
the poor will always be with us, but I am here before her right now.
Right.
And so, we can all be, Misty, you know what? I'm sorry to say that you're in good company with me as well. You know, we can all be self-righteous.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. Well, just think about that. Next time you have an opportunity to open your mouth and maybe we shouldn't.
Yes. That's usually the case with me.
Maybe that scenario is someone just being lavish with what Jesus would be, you know, he would appreciate it. Yeah. Interesting thought.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We would love to connect with you on Facebook and Instagram and have you share your good news or joy report. Just look for and like FLR Mornings.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.